to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. On Friday, we had our service here, and then a load of us went into town delivering hot cross buns. You cannot tell my girl that I'm telling you this story, okay? Can we just have a pact? All right. And we went in delivering, and at the beginning, she was like, I don't want to do this. I'm too nervous. And so she went with some of our youth, and she went with Abby and Jack, and they took a tray of hot cross buns. And let me say, the only person ever to give out free hot cross buns and be given a free Easter egg. Like, I gave out a whole tray full, and not one person gave me an Easter egg, not even a sweet, man. Okay, and but she came back going, someone gave me an Easter egg. And I kind of got this story from Abby this morning. And I'd heard a few bits from Jack as well. And they were giving out Easter eggs. They were giving out hot cross buns. And they were, you know, just giving them to people in town, random people. And somebody said to them, why are you doing this? Like, no one asked me that question. I was ready for that question. I had everything in my head. This is what I'm going to say. This is how I'm going to say it. And in that moment, they are going to give their life to Jesus. And I'm going to have a great story for Easter Sunday. Okay, that didn't happen. And no one asked me that question. But they asked Abby and Jack and Kaylin the question. And so, you know, they kind of were just a few young people in town giving stuff out. And so they said, oh, we're here to just give you the good news of Easter. We're just here to give you the good news. And the person took the hot cross bun and started walking away. And all of a sudden, okay, my 9-year-old realized the answer wasn't sufficient. And so chased the person down the street going, it's the good news about Jesus. It's about Jesus. And I'm like, this is absolutely incredible. I wish, you know, that I had the confidence and that I don't care what people are thinking about me to chase someone down the street shouting, it's about Jesus. I mean, how amazing would that be? No wonder, you know, God made sure she got the free Easter egg. The thing is, we know something this morning with the whole thing about the resurrection. We have good news. We have good news to give, and yet sometimes we shy away from it. Resurrection Day is about all things being new. It's about there is now a way to God, and it's about the fact that love won the day. And we need to come as a church and rejoice in that and celebrate in that. And so often, I've been doing church on Easter my whole life, and so often we can come and go through the motions. We can come and do the Easter Sunday thing, and we kind of know the songs that the band are going to pick. And when I was growing up, it was always Thine Be the Glory. You always had to have that hymn, okay, when you were in church on Easter Day. And you kind of knew the kind of thing that was going on. And I want to say to us this morning, let's throw out everything maybe that we've known for a few moments, and let's just sit and think about the fact that He is risen. That He is risen, and that whatever is going on in our lives, whatever we're going through, whatever else is going on around us, whatever else is going on in our country and in our world, He is risen. Yeah. Yeah. And this morning, let's get the fact of that into our hearts and into our lives. You know, I woke up this morning to the news that in Sri Lanka, there are people who have gone to church that are not going to go home. Because people don't like the fact that God is moving in this world and God is moving in that nation. And I want to say to us this morning, you know, it's okay for us to sit and actually become convicted about the resurrection all over again. Because that's what I'm going for. Because we need to be Christians that don't just know the book, but we live it out. And we are people who have a conviction that the resurrection is real. It's not just words on a page. That we'd go screaming down the street going, it's the good news about Jesus. Yet so often we come and sit and we go through the motion. Yeah. And we do Easter Sunday and then it's another one over with. And before we know it, we'll be back to Christmas. And we'll come and we'll do the motions. And we might do the motions really well, and it might be slicker this Christmas even than last Christmas. We might do the motions really well, but I want to take us straight back to the text today and look at some things that can happen in our lives because He is risen. We've turned Easter into another holiday. Into a bank holiday weekend. You know, we've turned Easter into this thing that doesn't actually involve Jesus. But this morning, for us that are here, it's going to involve him. Okay, so I want to make a few observations from the text this morning. And my first observation is this, that for the women to find the miracle, they had to enter the tomb. For the women who went early on that Sunday morning, on that Easter morning, on that resurrection day, for them to find the miracle of what had happened, they had to enter the tomb. They had to go into the place where death resided, and they had to enter the tomb first. If they hadn't have entered the tomb, they wouldn't have been privy to the miracle. They wouldn't have realized what had happened. And so often, we want what the resurrection offers us without wanting to be a part of the process. And I want to talk to us this morning about the fact that sometimes if we want to enter into our miracles, sometimes we've got to go into those places that maybe we don't want to go into. Sometimes we've got to have those discussions that maybe we don't want to have. And sometimes we've got to allow God to do things in our life that maybe we don't want him to do. But if we want to live in the power of the resurrection, if we want to live in the power of the miracle that that offers us, sometimes we've got to enter the tomb. Sometimes we've got to go into the place that we don't want to go into because actually it's going to bring us our miracle. Yeah. Do you know what? The women could have seen the stone had been moved and just peered inside, seen Jesus wasn't there and legged it. They could have done that. They could have just kind of looked inside and gone, he was there, he's now not there, we're going to go. Because actually going to the tomb was dangerous for them. Yeah. Going to the tomb of Jesus, this person that, you know, some people thought was king of the Jews and others wanted to crucify, going to that place was not something that you would do just kind of, oh, let's just Sunday out, let's take a picnic. Or breakfast. Let's go and have, you know, breakfast at the tomb. You wouldn't do that because actually there were Roman guards and Roman soldiers that didn't like what Jesus stood for. And so when they went kind of not in trepidation, but they went knowing the dangers that that involved. And then when they saw the stone rolled away, they could have peered inside and then just gone, we're out of here. We have no idea, because they might think we nicked the body. We have no idea what's going on. Or they could see the stone rolled away from a way off and decided, we're not going to do any more. We're not going to go any further. But they didn't. They saw that it was different, and they went into the tomb, and that is where they found out what had happened. That is where they became part of the miracle. That is where they found the words that they went back and told the other disciples and the other apostles. Sometimes we've got to be prepared to become part of the miracle. Sometimes we've got to be prepared to allow God to do the thing in us that maybe we don't want him to do so that we can be part of the miracle. If you look through the Bible, this happened over and over again. Daniel, we heard the other week, he had to walk into the lion's den. He had to go. He had to become part of the miracle. The woman who was healed with the issue of blood had to go through the crowds and had to touch Jesus. She had to become part of the miracle. Zacchaeus had to get down from the tree. There are so many stories in the Bible where people had to get involved for the miracle to be released to them. And sometimes we have to realize that we may need to do something to find what we are looking for. Sometimes we're going to have to engage with God to receive from him. Do you know what? He puts everything in front of us, but sometimes we need to choose to engage. We need to choose to engage. We need to choose to pray. We need to choose to maybe leave our own agenda and kind of, okay, God, what are you saying to me? Sometimes we need to walk away from things. Sometimes we need to choose to engage with what God has for us. Yeah. I want to ask the question this morning, what miracle are you waiting on? What are you waiting on with God this morning if you know God? Or if you don't and you've come saying, God, if you're real, show me. What miracle are you waiting on? Because sometimes we have to enter the process for God to do what we're asking him to do. God isn't just going to, you know, drop things from the sky into our laps. Sometimes we have to enter the process. It's God who does it, but he needs us to enter the process to see something change. Yeah. You know, we've been praying for a long time over our church and over our finance and all of that kind of stuff. And this year, I really feel like we have engaged as a church in the process. So we engaged on gift day. We brought our gift to God. And we've unlocked something. We've opened something up. We've engaged in the process. Mainly Joe, but Joe and I have met with a guy called Malcolm who's helping us write funding bids. We're engaging in the process. Because I don't think God is just going to drop his money into our bank account. Sometimes you've got to find out, God, how can we do this? What can we do? How can we partner with you and engage in the process? Yeah. And I want to say to you this morning, it's the same with everything. Yeah. How can you engage in the process with God this morning? Yeah. How can you engage with him? And how can you partner with him? We have to find our part in the process so that God can then work through us to bring about the miracle. Here, Jesus had already risen, but to get the word out, he needed someone to be engaged in the process. Yeah. To get the word out, he needed someone to get in the tomb and find out what had happened. I want to say to us this morning, you know, God has got some incredible stuff for us. He's got some amazing things prepared for us. Sometimes we just need to get involved in the process. Sometimes we need to allow God to go into those areas of our life that we may find hard and begin to clean them up, begin to sort them out so that we can go and do what he has called us to. Yeah. The second thing I noticed in the text is simply this, that you won't find life in dead places. This was the verse that came to me last night as we were just sat talking. And we were talking and I was scribbling down on my phone. I wasn't ignoring my husband or playing Candy Crush. I was writing this verse down. Why do you look for the living among the dead? And just felt this verse impressioned on my heart and in my spirit about the fact that we won't find life in dead places. And I just really believe that for someone this morning, this is key for you. This is what you've come to hear. And you may not know that. You didn't come in thinking that you may have come to hear that. But I want to say to you this morning, this is what you've come to hear. You're not going to find life in dead places. The truth is this, that the women weren't going looking for life. They were going looking for death. They were going to anoint the dead body of Jesus. They were going and expecting to find death. And what they found was life. What they found was, actually, don't look for him here because this is where death resides. You need to find him somewhere else because he's not here. He has risen. And when he rose, he didn't stay in the place where death was. Yeah. Yeah. And this morning, I'm excited about this word that actually you're not going to find life in dead places. And maybe you've been looking for life. Maybe you've been looking for stuff. Maybe you've been trying to find your way in God and you're going to the wrong place to find it. You go into the wrong circumstance and to the wrong situation to find it. How often do we try and find life where death resides? How often do we go to the places that will take us away from life? How often do we go to the people that will take us away from life? How often do we go to the situations that don't have life stamped all over them? And then we wonder why we don't feel alive. We wonder why we feel hopeless. We wonder why we feel death rather than life. It's because we're looking for it in the wrong places, with the wrong people, and in the wrong path for us. Right. Don't look for the living among the dead, because you'll never find them. Because where death resides, life doesn't. Right. When we rise, we leave those things that bring us death, those things that bring us down. We leave those things and we go into a new place and into a new season. Do you know what? The enemy is very good at making dead places look alive. He's very good at making dead places look like they are full of life. He is great at counterfeiting God's best with his second best. Let's not fall for the trap. Let's not fall for the trap of, you know, he's very good at allowing you to kind of see what you're doing and say, but it's okay because. Because he knows that if you carry on down the path you're on, you're not going to find life. And he knows that he's got you and he knows that he's going to win. But I want to say this morning that there is one who conquered death, who conquered sin, who conquered everything that can bring us down. And he wants to come and give us real life this morning. The Bible says that he came to give his life and life in all of its fullness. I said at the beginning last night, we'd kind of been flicking through trying to find new films because we've seen Home Alone 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 many, many times, right? And we found that the second Spider-Man was a PG. My son was so happy. Like, he is going to come into a world of his own when he is 12. I think on his 12th birthday, we're not going to see him for a week because he's just going to watch every Marvel disc that we have got in the house. And he's just going to be like, come on. But we said to them yesterday, we said, Ollie, Spider-Man 2 is a PG. He's like, can I watch it? We're like, yeah, you can. So we sat down and we watched this film. And it's the one with Dr. Octavia in and with all like the metal arms coming out. And at the beginning, when he was doing this experiment, it was for the good. It was for the good of the people around him. And the experiment went wrong. And he ended up waking up. And these metal arms that kind of coming out of his body began to control him. He himself was a good man. But when what was coming out of him began to control him, things went wrong. Yeah. And we were watching this film and just... You know, these arms began to take on a life of their own. And there was one part of the film where he's come back to kind of back to life again. And he's having this fight between himself, the real guy, and the guy controlled by the metal arms. Okay, am I explaining this well? Okay, but he's having this fight between good and evil. And he says this, he says, I don't have the finance to do what I need to do to put this right. And then the kind of metal arms kind of make him think, well, just go and take the money. And he has this conversation with himself and he says, I could go and take it, but I don't do that. I'm not a thief. I'm not going to steal it. And then the arms tell him this, but if you get the money, you can put it right. If you get the money, you can do the good. And all of a sudden, things begin to get twisted in his mind and in his heart. And he goes and he becomes the baddie, but then kind of saves everybody in the end. I like movies like that. Yeah, right. He turns good in the end, people. Yeah. And I like movies like that. Spider-Man didn't save the day. He did. Okay? Although we won't tell Oliver that because that would absolutely gut him because he's a bit of a Spider-Man fan. He was good, but what was controlling him wasn't. Being good isn't good enough. We've got to have something of God inside of us saying, actually, this is the way. Why don't you go this way? Why don't you do this? Let's not look for life in dead places. Let's not look for life in dead relationships. Let's not look for life in those places where you know you're going to end up doing something that's going to take you away from your relationship with me. Why look for the living among the dead? And as I began to think on that verse yesterday and just began to allow it to penetrate into my heart and into my mind, I just began to think, do you know what? There are some of us in this room that are looking for life in dead places. There are some of us sat in this room today that are looking for life in dead places. And our enemy will masquerade that his life is the best life. That actually having fulfillment now rather than waiting is the way to go. That actually instant gratification and the reasons why you should have that is okay. And it's like we've got these things controlling us, okay? And you go in, actually, that's not God's way. But then the things that are controlling us is going, but it's okay. God won't mind. God's fine with that. It's not a problem. And actually, we know that actually when we're in a place where we're finding life continually, we know what's right and we know what's wrong. And resurrection life is a life that is spent waiting for God. John 14:6 says this, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Yeah. If you want to know life today, the only way that you are fully going to know life is through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Yeah. That's it. Because anything else will ultimately take us to a dead place. Anything else will ultimately take us to a place where life is not abounding at all. You won't find life in places where death resides. You will find it where resurrection life is. Yeah. And the third thing that I noticed from this text is simply this, that you will choose what you believe. Verses 9 to 11 say this, when they came back, this is the ladies it's talking about, from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Do you know what, this morning, you always have a choice of what to believe. Whether that be in listening to gossip, reading a magazine, listening to the news, or thinking about faith, you have a choice. You have a choice what to believe. And sometimes we can kind of come up with this thing that just the way life happens makes us believe. No. We have a choice. We've got to get good at making a choice of, this is what I'm going to stand upon. This is what I am going to believe in. That verse that says the women's words seemed like nonsense. Do you know what? Jesus had told them that he was going to rise again. Yeah. They'd been told by Jesus himself. I'm going to be put into the hands of sinful men. I'm going to be crucified. And 3 days later, he even gave them the time scale. 3 days later, I am going to rise again. Yet when the women came back with the news that what Jesus had said had come true, they thought it was nonsense. They couldn't see it. They couldn't understand it. They couldn't get their heads around it. And so they chose not to believe it. They chose to say it was nonsense. Peter then ran to the tomb and saw that he was gone. And verse 12 says this, he went away wondering what had happened. He still didn't quite believe it. He had so much more proof than we will ever have. And yet, he still struggled with it. When I first came and joined the leadership of this church, I used to go into schools all the time. And every year, probably for about 8 years, I used to go, and for 2 weeks leading up to Easter, I would take year eights, okay? And we would do the Easter story. And one of the things I did with these year eights is ask them what they think happened. Okay, what do you think happened? You're a reporter. The tomb is empty. You tell me what you, if you give year eights carte blanche to do whatever they want for 10 minutes in an RE lesson in school, they will come up with some wild and wacky stuff. Okay, we had aliens abducted him. We had absolutely everything. And they were just allowed to kind of let their imaginations run wild and say what they thought happened. And at the end of the day, the way I always ended that part of the thing, that part of the lesson was this. This is what the Bible tells us happened, but we've got to choose whether to believe it or not. We can choose to think aliens abducted Jesus. We can choose to think that the Roman soldiers kidnapped the body. We can choose to think all of these things, or we can choose to stand on the truth. Yeah. Or we can choose to stand on what the Bible tells happened. Yeah. I want to ask you a question today. What are you believing today? Math already asked it, and he had no idea that I was going to. You know, he asked it right at the beginning of the service, church, do you believe this? When he read the resurrection account. And we all said, yeah, we believe it. Well, believing in the resurrection and having a real firm faith in it means we should be changed. It's not just something I believe, it's something I allow to shape my life and to shape my future. Yeah. And so this morning, my belief is the beginning of what then God can do in me. Do you know what? Even though we may have been told, even though we may once have known, right now, what are you choosing to believe today? Not what did you believe 5 years ago? Not what have you believed when life has been good? Not what did you believe when you used to go to church as a kid? Not what did your parents believe? What do you believe? I love the story in the Bible where Jesus turns to the disciples and said, who do you say that I am? Are you going to nail your colors to the mast? This is what I believe. And this, on this belief is what is going to shape my life, shape my future, shape my convictions. This morning, what is it that you believe? Life doesn't choose your belief. Circumstance don't choose your beliefs. Others can't choose your beliefs. You choose what you believe. You make a choice. And there have been times when I have made the wrong choice. And there have been times when I have struggled with my faith. And there have been times when I've found it hard. But at the end of the day, I want to say to us this morning, today's decision day. Today's a day to make a choice. Yeah. Jesus chose to die. He chose to do the will of God. He chose to allow God to use him. He chose to do that. And this morning, our choice is, do we accept that? Are we going to live in that? Are we going to walk in that? Are we going to allow the resurrection and the power of that to change us? Because the Bible says that when we know God and we have a relationship with God, that the same power that rose Jesus from the dead is living in each one of us. Yeah. I don't know about you, but I'm up for a bit of that. Yeah. Yeah. That same power that rose Jesus from the dead can be living in me if only I what? If only I'd believe. Do you know life and circumstance and stuff like that shape us, but they shouldn't define us. The power that we can access through the resurrection should be what defines us and what makes us who we are meant to be. The women were told that he is risen. But what does the word risen mean for us today? I've just got quickly five things. You're all going, it's 20 past 11 and she's got five things. It's okay. And we're not going to be here forever. But they spell out the word risen. And what does the word risen mean to us today? Number one, it means that we can have a relationship with God. It means that there's no barrier. It means in the Old Testament days and in the days when Jesus was there, for someone to go into the presence of God, they went in, but there was a veil behind them that kept everybody else out. It was only for a few people. And the Bible tells us that when Jesus died, when he went down, when he defeated death and he defeated hell, that that veil was torn in two. And what that signifies is that all of us can have a relationship with God. It's not a select few people. All of us can have a relationship with God. The veil that kept most people out was torn in two so that we can have a relationship. We can come boldly into God's presence and have a relationship with him. I'm excited about that. That every single one of us, we have a choice to make this morning about what we're going to do with that. The second thing is this, that there can be internal transformation. So often we work on the outer. So often we work on what people see rather than what people don't see. But what I want to tell you this morning is that because he is risen, whatever is going on in your heart and in your mind, whatever stuff you have been through, whatever you may be feeling, whatever you may be thinking, maybe you're thinking God doesn't want me. He might want her who's speaking, but she hasn't lived like I have lived. You know what? I may not have done or I may have done. The most important thing that we can have is an internal transformation that changes our mindsets, that changes our heart, because as that changes, everything else will change. Yeah. The third thing that he is risen means is that the sacrifice Jesus made was a once and for all sacrifice. We now enter God's presence through grace, not law. Do you know what? We don't have to do anything other than come to him this morning. We don't have to enter through a load of rules and regulations. It's not you've got to look a certain way or be a certain way. Do you know what? God transforms us as we come to him. But just coming to him this morning, I'm telling you, the sacrifice once and for all was made for you. When Jesus died on the cross, he did it because he loves you and he thinks you're incredible. Whatever life has told you, whatever other people have told you this morning, the sacrifice was once and for all. I'm glad that we don't have to come and bring sacrifices this morning. We've just had the carpet cleaned for one. I'm glad we don't have to do that. I'm glad we don't have to come and have a load of stuff that we've got to do. All we've got to do is come. Yeah. That's it. We've got to come to the one who made the sacrifice once and for all for us. The fourth thing that he is risen means, it means that we can have everlasting life. Death lost its sting. And I know that when we go from this life, there is a sting for those who are left behind to hold. I get that. But in itself, death has no hold. Because what happens is we go to everlasting life. We have eternal life through Jesus. This morning, that is available for all of us. Because he is risen. Because he is risen, I can know God and I can have everlasting life. Because he is risen, death loses its sting. The grave loses its victory because he is risen. And then the fifth thing is simply this, that we get new hope. The verse that God really began speaking to me last night about is simply this. Why do you look for the living among the dead? If you're trying to find hope in places that give death, you'll never find it. Yeah. Or you will for a bit, and then it will go again. And you'll be back to your questioning. You'll be back to your wondering. This morning, because he is risen, we can have new hope. Yeah. We can have a hope in place of our hopelessness. And it doesn't always mean that life will become fine again. It doesn't always mean that life will be okay. It doesn't always mean that we won't go through hardships or stuff that we don't like, but it does mean that in the middle of all that, we have hope. Yeah. And I love this verse in the Bible, and I've carried this verse in my life for a long time, and it says this in Romans, that hope does not disappoint. I want to tell you this morning that hope in Jesus will never disappoint. Right. Life might disappoint. Circumstance might disappoint, but our hope in Jesus will never, ever disappoint us. So we can have new hope this morning because he is risen. So why look for the living among the dead? Because you're not going to find it. You're not going to find life in places where death resides. And some of us need to make a shift this morning in where we're living and in where we're going and maybe even who we're going there with, because it's not bringing life to who we are. And we're wondering why we don't feel alive. We're wondering why we question our faith. We're wondering why we feel hopeless. Maybe, just maybe, it's because we're looking for the living in dead places.